to introduce Patricia Bootsma to you. Some of you will know Patricia pretty well. Some of you won't know her at all. And some of you will remember, many of you in the room will know who Voon Cheng was. Some of you won't know who Voon Cheng was. Voon was a dear, dear member of our church family, and she was shockingly just taken from us very quickly and surprisingly last year. I was reminded of that again when Patricia arrived on Friday, because she was struck by the fact, well, where's Voon? You know, she knew that Voon had gone, but like, where's Voon? Where's that woman who organized me from the moment I walked in through the door? And, you know, I have many debts to Voon. But one of them is Patricia. You know, Mary and I have been incredibly blessed with many amazing friends and contacts in the sort of Christian ministry around the world. And generally speaking, if we've invited people, they come. But there was one time there was someone I wanted to invite, and I tried to invite them, and for whatever reason, they never really responded. I'd never invited Patricia. Mary and I had seen Patricia on the platform in Canada many times, and we really loved what she did. We really liked the look of the way she did stuff and the things that she said. But it had never entered my head to invite Patricia here. We'd had some amazing people visit, you know, starting with Peter Jackson, and we have a long history with Dennis Morgan Donor, as he was, now Dennis Donor. But it had never been in my head to invite Patricia. I didn't know her. I'd never met her. I'd just seen her on the platform. And Voon had it in her head that Patricia Bootsma had to come to Harlow. And back in the day, it was probably quite hard to find people's email addresses, but somehow, I don't know how she did it, but she found Patricia's private email address. And she came to me one day, "Brian, you invite Patricia Bootsma to Gateway!" I'm sorry if that's a racist impression, but that's just accurate. That's pretty much how it was. So I eventually obeyed. I kind of resisted for a week or two. But, "Brian, Patricia Bootsma must come to Gateway!" So I did invite her, and she came. How discerning of her. And, Patricia is just an incredible woman of God. And she's I can just testify that she's a nice person to be around. You know, we have her in a house. She's prepared to stay with us in our house when she comes. She's just the nicest person to have around the house. She's great. So I warmly, warmly and strongly recommend you, if your heart's already open to receive, kind of unzip them now and say, "Okay, I give in. I'm going to trust this woman to actually do some God stuff today." So can we warmly welcome Patricia Bootsma?
Oh, bless your heart. Give me a hug, Brian. You're just so black and white today, aren't you? That's the prophetic way. Come on. Oh, I love this couple and love staying at their house. I always say it's hard to begin a trip in England staying at their house because they've got this nice, big, cozy bedroom. Everything is just awesome. The food is awesome. And not that the other places are bad, but, you know, anyways. You know, you are the best, yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Just ask Jonathan to jump on the keys for me for a bit because I just feel things stirring. It's so, these winds last night. I mean, I don't know about many of you, but I was even awake in the night just listening to that wind blowing. Anybody know what, the wind was really blowing last night? And I feel like it's like there's winds of change and winds of revival that are blowing. And, I feel that there's something stirring here. And I just want to declare that, even the next time I come, if I'm getting invited back again, but I totally see this new building that God is giving you. And I just see expansion, continued expansion. And I was sharing with them, and I don't know, the Lord will lead, but I just felt like there was going to be a church building that opened up. But I felt like Sabeli and, Mauricio, can you just stand up for a second? And, I know that you work with Brian and Mary. And Brian and Mary, I first of all just want to honor you guys. Just this mother-father heart that you carry and this ability. You've bridged a gap between revival, like the stirring of revival, and this house. You have bridged a gap to say, we're going after it. Like even when you came across the ocean years ago into Toronto, and you just, the hunger that you carried, I felt like you've burst out of religion and into revival fires. And I know that there's this relationship with this couple who are, you know, you're passing a baton later, whatever you're doing. But I just feel like to honor you guys, to honor you for what you have started, for what your hungry hearts. And you know, in the Canada and America, they use the term bedroom community. Do you use that in England? Bedroom community? Dormitory suburbs. Like bedroom community means like you're like a suburb of a larger community, right? And so Harlow isn't that far from London, right? Is that true? Like you guys have started sort of like what we would call across the pond is a bedroom community. But I felt like the Lord saying that the Lord was going to wake up this bedroom community, meaning that there was going to be a great awakening that is not going to be sleepy any longer. I felt like there has been sleepiness spiritually in Harlow, that there's been a spiritual sleepiness. You guys have bridged a gap, but it's going to be taken to a new level. And I felt like to prophesy and declare that Mauricio and Sibeli, there's something of revival that's so on you, this revival spirit, this revival calling, this revival anointing, that the Lord has been speaking to you about that. And I also feel that there's something about your Brazilian background. Your Brazilian background, because I don't know how many of you know that Brazil is in revival right now. I mean, they just had the send also with 140,000 young people filling three stadiums for the glory of God just this past weekend. And I just felt like the Lord saying that there is such a revival that you carry, a heart for revival, a heart for souls being saved and lives being transformed. And these winds of change are blowing. These winds of revival are blowing. And watch what God's going to do right here in Harlow, that He is about to bring revival fires on another level. And so, Lord, I bless what's been started, and I bless the fire of revival that's in Brian and Mary, and their heart for the more, their heart to just go after God. And I feel like you guys now have that same, you know, heart after God. But I feel like the Lord is saying there's going to be many, many young souls, many young souls. As a matter of fact, right now, I don't say that this is an elite group, but if you're under the age of 30 in this room, I just want you to stand. It's almost too bad that the young people are gone, but that the youth are gone, but just stand up for a moment. If you're under 30, because I feel like the Lord just wants to say that this church is going to burst. Okay, there's some right now, but this church is going to burst with young people under the age of 30. Not saying that they're an elite group, but I just feel like the Lord's saying that they are going to be coming in. So we bless you guys. We bless the fire. Let's just raise your hand around them or lay hands on them. And it's like this mother and father that Mary and Brian have carried. And now this revival stirring that Sibeli and Mauricio carry for young people. Lord, I thank you right now that you're going to multiply these young people in this church. You're going to bring them in because there's souls being saved in this age category. There's many, 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 many souls going to be saved in this bedroom community. There's going to be an awakening, no longer in the bedroom of sleepiness, but in the revival fires of awakened hearts. So God, do it, Lord, do it. Bless Katie as well in Jesus' name. And this young girl, I remember you from the last time I was here. Father, we thank you for the fire of God upon her. Lord, I thank you that you're stirring in her heart. You are real. God is real. Lord, pour out on her and many like her. I just feel like the Lord's going to use you powerfully, you know, to bring friends into hope. And I feel like you've got friends who are suicidal. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like you got friends who are really discouraged. And the Lord is saying that He's going to bring many young people, even your friends and others, into a saving knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. So pour out your spirit upon her, God. Give her boldness and grace that God is good in Jesus' name. And I just, this lady with the red thingy, you, can you stand up for a second? I know you didn't stand for under the age of 30, but you look like you're under 30, but I just, yeah, Lord, put your spirit upon her. I feel like the Lord is saying that there is a real intercessor, woman of prayer that is rising up inside of you. And I feel like whatever it is that you do job-wise, God's about to visit you in the marketplace, or God's about to visit you in your job. Even if there's been frustrations there, I feel like the Lord is saying that He's about to turn things in the spiritual atmosphere of your job. you keep your heart right. You keep forgiving people that have hurt you or wronged you. And I just see the Lord saying that He's about to explode the anointing on you for soul winning, even out there in your job or in the marketplace or outside the walls of the church. So we bless what you carry. We bless you. There's something about beauty too. I don't know if you help people in, in making themselves feel good about how they look, but there's something about aesthetics that's on your life to help people in a natural way as well as a spiritual way, but to love who they are, put it that way. So I, Father, let your fire come upon her. Let your spirit move upon her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that there is going to be great change in the workplace for her. It's like the Lord is about to favor you in the workplace. And I see a turning around, favor, wind at your back, not wind at your front. So pour out your spirit upon her. And all these other young people, Father, we just say, let your glory come upon them. I love these sons of Poe and Emily. Father, thank you in Jesus' name that the boldness of the Lord comes upon them. I remember you guys. Father, pour out your spirit. Let your fire fall. Lord, let the prophetic calling come upon them. I think your name is John. Is that right? Father, bless John. I just see warrior rising, the warrior rising upon you, a boldness to proclaim the kingdom of God is here upon you in Jesus' name. And that's your mom, right? Lord, thank you for Colette. Father, all the prayers that she's prayed, but you, your testimony is so powerful, John. Your testimony about what you've been through or what you've done or whatever. I just see many people, you know, being thrown a lifeline when you said, God saved me from certain destruction. God saved me from destroying myself. God saved me, and the Lord is going to use your testimony powerfully for the expansion of the kingdom. So Lord, fill them up in Jesus' name. More glory, glory, glory of God. You know, I just bless you in music. You need to pick up music. You need to pick up singing or worship, or just fill your head with worship. Don't even listen to secular music any longer. I feel like the Lord's saying there's too much good Christian music to listen to secular music. And I just see worship being filling your head and your home, your bedroom or whatever. Because I think the Lord is about to really awaken you as to your calling, your destiny. So do it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let worship arise over her in the name of Jesus. Yeah, keep coming. Yeah. Keep coming. You may be seated. And it's interesting because, sorry, I don't mean to just say you guys are the favored family, Sibeli, but where's that middle kid? He's out, is he? And this is your older kid over here. Father, bless these sons too, because I just see a revival spirit upon the sons of Mauricio and Sibeli. And the middle one, it's interesting because Mauricio was just saying he's like our politician. But that's true, because I do feel like that Otto is it, but he's going to be mightily used of God like a Cyrus, like a political leader who comes into power, who absolutely shifts things. And so I feel leadership, leadership. And over you, Arthur, is it? But I just bless worship. All these kids will be involved in worship. So Otto, I don't want to say controlling, but learn the guitar. Get the guitar out. Make sure that you're practicing. Make sure you're practicing your music lessons, because the Lord is going to use you powerfully in worship and in sounds and in melodies and the musical anointing. And this little girl will have such a powerful testimony and witness to the glory of God. So I bless this family in Jesus' name. Lord, pour out your spirit and your grace. Father, we just say more of you. This man with the white t-shirt, can you stand up for a second? Is this your wife beside you or your brother and sister? And is that your dad? Oh, okay, awesome. Can you stand up for a second? I just feel like the Lord is about to really, it's like there's about to be a switch in what you do with your hands. I see you working with your hands, and I feel like God's going to, you know, you're fixing things, you're making things better. And I just bless your ability to fix things and make things better. But I feel like there's times when it seems like God is distant. But I want to say to you that God is near, and there's a Father in heaven who radically loves you and has found you and has saved you and is turning your situation around. And I don't know what's going on with relationship with you, but I feel like He's healing your heart from relational stuff and relational pain. And saying, I'm pushing reset, son. I'm pushing reset. on your heart and on your life, that it's a new beginning. This is like a time of new beginnings for you. And so I just feel like the Lord's saying, just, you know, heal or forgive the people who've hurt you or whatever. Reset, you know, it's a new day. It's a new day. And so in order for you to really go on into what God has for you, it's almost like I see this picture of you shedding an old coat, like the molting process is something where there would be a shedding of the old coat, like an eagle goes through a molting process where they shed their old feathers, you know, and even their beak. And it's a new beginning so they can fly higher and soar in a new way. So it's almost like you need to shed some old stuff. And even get rid of some stuff physically. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I remember when I had this 3.5 year relationship, in a dating relationship with this guy, and the Lord said, you need to get rid of that relationship, basically. That was a dating relationship. But I needed to throw away every picture. I needed to give away everything he gave to me because I needed to be free of the soul ties of that relationship because they were such a control. And so in order to really meet my husband, go on to this phenomenal marriage that I have, it's like the Lord said, you need to get free of the soul ties, you know? So sometimes we need to make radical decisions to be free of soul ties to go on with what God has. So I bless you as God pushes reset in your life, this molting process, the freedom of soul ties, but make some radical changes in your life, okay? Radical changes in your life. It says in the ends of Proverbs 12 about friends, and we've got to be careful who our friends are, who we hang out with, because they can lead us in a path of destruction or a path of God. You know, so I bless you. You're making radical changes, radical things of the heart. So Lord, pour out your spirit upon them because it is a new day. It is a new season. It is reset in Jesus' name. So take that and run with that in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for this fellowship. And again, I just want to honor Brian and Mary for what they have done here and what the Lord has done. But it is now time. It is 2020. This is a special year. It is time that God's going to give this new property, this new building. But there's something also about a continuation. I don't know why I'm saying this, but a continuation of that ministry that you do with youth or kids or daycare or whatever. It's almost like the Lord is going to still enable you to do it, even if it is a different facility, or have a hand in something that still affects the community, something that affects the community in a big way. So we bless the anointing upon you guys. We bless the fire on in your bones in Jesus' name. Just go on. Just get up and go on with what God has given you. The wind at your back, the wind at your back, the winds of change you're blowing. So, Father, pour out your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your glory fall. Let's all just focus on him for a moment. Lord, let your glory fall. Let your presence come. The glory, the weightiness, the kabod. The presence of God that is here already, but increase it, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Increase the measure of your presence and of your glory in our midst. We set our gaze upon you. We set our hearts upon you. We set our face like flint upon you. God, come. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your presence. Weightiness. Weightiness. Can you all just stand for a moment? Can you stand? I have to be obedient to the Lord, even though I'm a bit unorthodox. I realize that. Realize I'm unorthodox, but Lord, come. The glory of the Lord is here. The weightiness of your presence is here. Lord, keep coming. Keep coming. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. I feel that there's people right now, even before I preach, before there's a word from the Lord in terms of a sermon, if you want to call it that way. But there's people here, you know you need to get right with God. You know you need to get right with God. You need to, like, there's a wrestle with the Spirit. There's a wrestle as in His will or your will. His will or your will. Where you've been doing your will and God is saying it's time to do my will. The Lord wants to be on that driver's seat. You know, and you may have known him for years, but there's a recommitment for some. There's a new commitment for others. There's a sense of, I need to really give Jesus the driver's seat of my life. to let Him lead me, to let Him guide me. So there's a wrestling been going on. I felt it even in the night. I was wrestling in prayer. I feel like there's people that have been wrestling with insecurities, wrestling with who are you. And it's like you will be found. You will find yourself as you give yourself away to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ means this. The wages of sin is death. Our sin separates us from perfect, holy God. That's why He came and that's why He died. He said, I'll pay the price of death. And there's something about when we say fully, Lord, I want to know You. Jesus, I receive You. Jesus, I receive the gift that You paid on that cross. You took away this gap between me and holy, perfect God when I say yes to You, because You're the great bridge between me and the Father. You're the bridge between us and perfection and holiness and righteousness, that we can be made right. There are people here that you've been wrestling with who's leading your life. Will it be God or will it be you, as in meaning your will, your way? Or will you surrender to His will, His way? Wherever you are right now, you feel that. I want you to step forward. I want you to, even now this time, be bold. Come and meet me here right now. You've been wrestling with who is going to really lead your life, and it's time to give it to the leadership of Jesus Christ. Fully given, fully surrendered to Him, fully acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior. If that's you, can you just come right now? Just step out of your seat. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Yeah, there's something of this full on, full in. Yeah, surrender. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. You know, when I just had so many spirit of stupid years. Not a lot, but it was about 3.5 years of just dumb. And when I really, really fully surrendered, it was like a reset that I haven't looked back. I haven't looked back. I'm saying, I'll be a fool for Christ. I'll be a fool for You, Jesus. I just want You. So this is what we're talking about today. And I want you to say this with me. Everybody here, and just feel like there's somebody that's wrestling with yet coming forward. If that's you, just jump up here. Just get up here. Don't worry about what people think of you. It's God. It's God. We're talking about God. You and God. It's not about you and somebody else. You and God. Lord, pour out Your Spirit. Say this with me. Everybody here and then everybody in this room. Jesus, I say yes to You. I fully surrender my life to Your leadership, to Your will, to Your way. I say yes. Forgive me of sin, of compromise. Forgive me of my will. I want to surrender my will now to Your leadership, to Your will and way, in Jesus' name. Can I just have somebody come behind, maybe some of the leaders in this church? Lord, fire of God, come and break in with the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way, in a new level. In the name of Jesus, there's a marking, there's a branding, this brother, sister, there's a branding on your family. The fire of the Holy Spirit comes, and it's like the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Fill. Insecurities are leaving. I feel that there's been such a wrestling in feeling less than, or feeling like you, I don't know who identifies with that, but right now take healing from insecurities. He is the one who defines us. You know, the Lord wants to define you. Oh, I am defined by my Father in heaven. I'm not defined by my performance or whether people like me or a popularity contest. Or can you just say that, everybody? I am defined by my Father in heaven. What He says about me is what counts. So I listen to His voice. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Let your fire come right now, right now, right now. Lord, align. Come on, align, align. All the voices in the head, all the voices of condemnation, they fade away. They fade away. It's the voice of the Father, my Father in heaven, that I listen to. I'm defined by my Father in heaven. Pour out, pour out, pour out. More, 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 more. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit come. Let your anointing come. In the name of Jesus. Fully given. Fully surrendered. Fully given. Let the fire of the Spirit come. Shananana mashika radaraba sora mashiki. Sora basora daba. Shonamaraki. Shinganama. Come on, if you have a prayer language, start to pray it. Everybody in this room, shiarara. Lord, release even now the gift of tongues. Release the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Shikarara basotara rabak shikarama. Even over you, Otto. Just begin to open your mouth. Shokarara Arthur. Shatarara basotara. Open our mouths. Begin to speak out, pray out. An infilling of the Holy Spirit, an infilling of the glory of God, an infilling of a new level of power. In Jesus' name. Lord, let your fire fall, let your glory come. Let your power be poured out in the name of Jesus. Pour it out. In the name of Jesus, pour it out. You got to open your mouth, okay? Open your mouth. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to say whatever syllables are coming to you, because the Lord is about to baptize people here in the glory. Fire of God falls. The fire of the Holy Spirit comes. Come on, it may seem crazy to you, but there really is a heavenly language that the Lord pours out by His Spirit. It doesn't make sense to the mind, but it makes every bit of sense in the Spirit. Fire of God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody that speaks in tongues in this room, let it come forth. Shona mare, namare, namara, namasol. Shina mare. Open your mouth. Just begin to speak it out. One syllable, two. I worship you. Shona mare. Shona mara, namasa, namare. A baptism of glory. A baptism of fire. A baptism of the Spirit. A baptism of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come on. This mom, grandma. Revival fire is burning. Revival fire is burning. Come on. We surrender our will, oh God. We surrender our will. We surrender our lives to you, Jesus. Shana mare namasol namare. Shana mara namare namara. Shana mare. So namare. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Spirit of the Living God. Fall afresh on us. Fall. Fall afresh on us. Shona mare re. So mare. Shona mana namane re. Jesus, let your fire fall. Shona mare namasona mara mare. You are real, you are real. You are real, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are real. Take habitation. Take habitation. Take habitation in these hearts. Shana maranama. Come on. Keep going. Keep going. One syllable, two syllables. Just speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Shana maranama. Open your mouth. You can't steal a parked car. Some of you are receiving the gift of tongues even now. The gift of tongues even now. The infilling of the Spirit. The infilling of the Spirit. The infilling of the Spirit. Fail. Shana mare day day day. Shana mara namare day. So more, Lord. Jesus, set our gaze upon you. We set our hearts upon you. Be filled with the Spirit. 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 Be filled with His love, power. Come on, let your Holy Spirit fall. Let your Spirit fall over this place, all over this place. Let the glory of the Lord come. Let the glory of the Lord come. Let the fire of His presence come. Open your mouth and begin to proclaim. Come on. Fire of God. Let your Spirit move in the name of Jesus. Jesus. You know what? I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than ever miss out on anything He's pouring out. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than ever miss out on what He is pouring out. So Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the fire of Your presence. Fill us with the fire of Your Spirit. Lord, give us revival fires in this place. Let it spill out from here. All over this city and nation. Shanamare namarama. Shoramare namasoramai kiranma. Break in, Holy Spirit. Break in, Holy Spirit. Break in with Your fire. With Your fire. Shiradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradaradarad Yeah, break in, break in. That was actually another word I had. I just, everything of the fear of cancer, everything of the fear of disease, you know, even coronavirus. Right now, let's just begin to pray. I felt like the Lord saying that this the coronavirus, you know, was going to be, it was definitely going to be faded away by October, but that's a long time from here to that. But we just say, Lord Jesus, you are bigger than any disease. You are bigger than any virus. And we thank you for protection in the name of Jesus. Even now, let revival spring up from coronavirus, because people are afraid of mortality, afraid of death. Let them turn to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. You're going to use the coronavirus, as evil as it is, you're going to use it to bring many souls to you. Because of a fear of death, people are going to turn to you. So Lord, do it. Sweep across China, sweep across Malaysia and Thailand and Japan in Asia, and even the nations of the earth. Oh God, just come right now in the name of Jesus. But we just declare every fear of cancer goes. Lord, break in with the power of your spirit. We bless you, Bridget. We bless you with long life, and every cancer cell dissolves in the name of Jesus. Let your fire fall. Pain goes even now from people's bodies. Healing, healing springs up. Come on. A few, just another more minute here. Let the water level rise, God. Let the water level rise of your glory. Let the water level rise of your presence, of your fire, of your spirit. Let the water level rise. Let the water level rise. Let the water level of your spirit rise. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh Jesus, you're bigger, you're stronger, you're greater. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. The winds of change are blowing. The winds of the Spirit are blowing. The winds of the Spirit are blowing over the UK. The winds of the Spirit are blowing over Harlow. The winds of change. The winds of the Spirit. The wind, He came. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came like wind, like fire, and like wine. Let the winds blow, O God. Let the winds of your Spirit flow. A mighty move of glory across this land. In the name of Jesus, through the power of the blood of Jesus. Come on, everybody, just let's raise a shout for a moment. Exalt you. Revival. Fires are burning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jonathan. More, more, more. Lord, just keep coming, Holy Spirit. Oh, keep coming, Holy Spirit. You know, yes, the death of Voon has affected me. I think I had a good cry when, Brian, thank you for telling me, Brian, because I just had a good cry, and she's a, if you, those of you that knew her, is an amazing person. There was another death this past year that really affected me too, and that was of my brother-in-law. So my sister is now a very young widow, and, I flew back, to my home, which is Stratford, Ontario. Because I was supposed to be in these meetings with all the pastors in a place, you know, Dominican Republic. But I said, look, I just can't go. I don't want even to go. I want to go and sit by my brother-in-law's bedside, which I did. And I helped out my sister a few nights, because she just wanted to have, you know, 24/7 care, even though he would technically by this time was in hospice. But, I sat with my brother-in-law a few nights, just spent the entire night just, you know, being with him. And it really brought back again this whole thing of mortality and eternity. And then there was a book that my sister had there by the bedside that I picked up, and it's called Imagine Heaven. I was telling these guys about it. It's called Imagine Heaven. And I highly recommend you get it. It's a New York Times bestseller, and it's on Amazon. And it's a pastor. His name is John Burke. He wrote the book based on, he actually surveyed 1,000 different near-death experiences. How many of you know actually that on planet Earth right now there's 8 million people that say that they've had a near-death experience where they went beyond and came back? You know, whether they actually, some of them actually death certificates were signed, like they literally died, and others, you know, they were unconscious or whatever, but that they had these near-death experiences. So anyway, but the book has at least 100 different of these near-death experiences written as well as teaching. So given the fact that my brother-in-law, who technically was the one who introduced my husband and I to each other, so that was, we're married 30 years this year, and so we owe him a debt. I mean, it was God who brought us together, but it was technically him who introduced us, and so it really touched me. I don't know if you've known somebody who's facing eternity or voon, for those of you who are here, but the fact is, guess what? Your little life on planet Earth, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever you've got, guess what? It is nothing compared to forever and ever in eternity. You're going to live on, okay? You will live on. This is not just it. Our spirit, our soul lives on into eternity. And so then it's how we live this life that determines that life. Not only where we will go, by the way, there really is a hell and there really is a heaven. Don't let anybody try to talk you out of that. There is a hell. And by the way, 26% of people who have these near-death experiences experience hell. And the terror and the fear and the darkness and the torment of that place. So that is real. There's, you know, 400 scriptures that talk about hell. But anyway, so we want to make sure that we're on our way to heaven. And knowing Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. But then there's also, like, how do we live our lives here? You know, by the way, that's another preach but for another day, but there are rewards in heaven too. Now, as I sat by my dying brother-in-law's bedside and just began to really mull over eternity on another level, I said to the Lord, God, if there's anything that needs to change in my life, would you come and change it now? Would you come and adjust me? Would you come and transform me? In other words, I don't want to get to that day, like my brother-in-law, ready to face Jesus and have regrets. Regret, regret, regret. By the way, you know what? These near-death experiences, the two things that they will say is this. The question is, did you learn to love? Did I learn to love? That how we love people or how we love God, that is something that goes on into eternity. That is something that really counts. It's not, you, guess what? You don't take your house with you or your job with you or your bank account with you. You don't take any of your money with you to the eternity. Is anybody, is that news for you? Never saw anybody, you know, with a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? It doesn't go into the gravesite with them. But you can, as Jesus said, you can store up treasures in heavenly places where moth and rust do not destroy. In other words, make some eternal investment. I actually woke up just not that long ago, maybe a month ago. I woke up from a sound sleep with these clear words. It's like they were audible. And I heard these words, invest eternally. Invest eternally. And I was like, okay, God. I, you know, keep showing me how to invest eternally. Invest eternally. In other words, oh, it's just like this life. I love it. It's great. I love life. I'm blessed. But it's not the big enchilada. The big enchilada is when is that life, which billions of years from now or millions of years from now, we will be, you know, if you know Jesus, we will be together with him in heaven. But Lord, what adjustments do you need to make in my life? Is anybody with me on that? Is it okay if we all pray that? Let's just all pray that right now. Lord, whatever adjustments you need to make in my life, whatever changes need to happen, to invest eternally, to live my destiny, to live your will, make those changes in Jesus' name. So that's one thing I really want to share on. I do actually have a different sermon today, but I just kind of beating on this drum for a moment here. I was sharing with you guys the story of this one guy, like you get these life reviews, you know, where you see your life flash before you. And I was a nurse, and so I was around a lot of dying people. And sometimes the veil lifts between this life and that life right before they pass into eternity. So anyways, but this life review thing where, you know, see your life flashing before your eyes, this one guy said, hey, wait a second. What about that award that I won at my job? You know, when I got that promotion, when I was recognized as the best sales guy or whatever it was. And the angel actually said to him, that wasn't important. What was important was, how did you treat people? How did you love people? How did you treat your spouse? And oh my goodness, like just think about that. These awards, Paul said it very well in 1 Corinthians 9. He said that, you know, these athletes that are training and for what? For a temporal crown, for a medal. But we, for an imperishable crown, I discipline my body, is 1 Corinthians 9. I discipline my life that I may obtain that imperishable crown. Come on, church. There's more. There's more. There's more that God wants to do and adjust in us. So let me share what I feel to talk on today. And it really has to do about the power of thanksgiving. Because this is one of the things I really sense that the Lord wanted to adjust in my life. And one of the things that John and I do each day, my husband is John, is that we take communion every day. And as we take communion, we remember the price that Jesus paid for our healing, for our salvation, and for our sozo, or abundant life. It was awesome to hear your testimony, dear lady, about the being cancer-free. That's fantastic. Can I recommend to you and to everybody else in this room, start taking communion every day, saying, God, thank you. You paid the price. You don't have to have a pastor to do this, right? By the way, it doesn't say in the Bible you have to have your pastor do this with you. You just go get yourself some crackers and some juice. But I remember 1 Corinthians 11. I remember the price that you paid, Jesus, that I could live fullness of health and healing, that I could be cancer-free, that I could be, you know, living my destiny and loving you. And so whatever you want to pray, but basically you're remembering what was accomplished on the cross when you take communion. So I was reading Benny Johnson, that's the wife of Bill Johnson, he's the revivalist from California. I was reading her book called The Power of Communion. And so, you know, we've been taking communion for decades and found less colds, less flus, less issues. But anyways, when I was reading her book, at the very end, Bill Johnson writes a chapter, and he said something that really got me. He said this. He said, if I could impart anything into somebody through the laying on of hands, I would choose to impart thankfulness, a heart of thanksgiving. And I thought, what? Bill Johnson, you're known for revival, you're known for healing, you're known for miracles, and you would choose thanksgiving over any of that? And what he said was this. He just said that he feels that that would be a priority, because if we could have an attitude of thanksgiving, maybe Bruce, you'll bring it down just a little bit, the volume. Is if we could have this attitude of thanksgiving, how it changes our whole entire outlook on life. And so I just found myself pondering that and meditating on that. How is that possible? If he could impart anything, that he would impart thanksgiving. And it reminded me of something in my own life. You know, I've shared my story here before, for those that have been here for a while, but that I have had a really difficult relationship with my father. There was a lot of abuse in my home growing up. My mother was abused, my siblings, myself, and I really worked through forgiving my dad, and that was a long journey, and it's been an incredible story to get to where I am today. I'm not what I used to be. Like Joyce Meyer says, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm okay, and I'm on my way, you know, so hallelujah. But I spent so many years breaking off the negative things in my childhood or my family line. And there's good to that. I needed to get healing. I have a Dutch heritage. I was born in Canada. My parents were born in Holland. And so it was like, you know, a break off the negative parts of the Dutch, you know, which is pride and, you know, God made the world, but the Dutch made Holland, that sort of thing that went on. It's like, oh my goodness, does that not sound like pride to you, you know? So, but then it was like, there came a point when the Lord was speaking to me and saying, but Patricia, what you now need to do is begin to be thankful. Can you open that for me? Be thankful for what you have. Does that make any sense to anybody? Has anybody else been here breaking off, spent a lot of time breaking off all the negative things from the past? But what I was not able to see was the good. Because I spent so much time, and again, I'm glad I got inner healing, and I still get inner healing. But I'm glad for the time to break off the negative. But then it was like I had spent years saying, I'm never going to marry a Dutchman. I'm rejecting like my heritage. But it was like the Lord was saying, there's a lot of good. You're missing the good. You're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So it just changed my view in terms of, God, thank you. Okay. The Dutch, they're tall. Okay, I'm tall. Yeah. You know, for a while I thought, oh my goodness, you know, am I going to find a husband taller than me? But I did, praise the Lord. So that was good. As well as, you know, the Dutch have a great work ethic or whatever. And I married a Dutchman for heaven's sake. So I had to renounce my vow. I'd never marry a Dutchman. That's why my name is Bootsma. Do you know what my maiden name is? Boersma. Can you imagine hyphenating that? Boersma, Bootsma, Boersma, Bootsma. So, changed two letters when I got married. But my point is that sometimes we're seeing through this set of lenses that we're seeing the negative, but we forgot to see the positive. We forgot to see the blessing. And even in my dad, you know, who I had wrestled with and then finally had worked through forgiveness, when the Lord was speaking to me and saying, Patricia, I want you to honor your dad. And I'm like, hey, I show up at Christmas and I send a Father's Day card. You know, I'm doing pretty good here, God. And he said, no, that's actually not good enough. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother that it would go well with you. And you would live long in the earth. So that's a law. That's a principle. God spoke it himself. It's the only, commandment with a promise attached to it. So anyways, I might have shared this story before, but let me say this, that when for the 8 years that we lived back in our hometown because we pastored there in Stratford, Ontario, Canada, I felt God said to sit in the coffee shop with my parents twice a week. And I was just thinking, I'm too busy. I got too many things to do, God. And the Lord said, sit in that coffee shop. And I did, and except for when I was traveling. And I heard those war stories that my dad would tell me, you know, because they grew up in Holland in the war. He was 15 years old when the war ended, so he remembers clearly, you know, the horror stories, the Jews that disappeared from their school to the Nazi soldiers that shot 21 young men in the head right in front of everybody in his town because a Nazi soldier was injured or something. And so we worked through with my dad. I worked with my dad about forgiving and forgiveness, and because that was still an issue. But I began to actually, for the first time in my life, love my father. I feel like I actually had forgiven him years before, but it was a different thing to honor and to love him. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. You know what Jesus said? He said that, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, it's this. If we love those who love us, that's what the world does. Come on, the world does that. It's easy to love somebody who's nice to you and kind to you and gives you gifts and that you're friends with or whatever. It's a whole other level to love those who come against you or block you or say nasty things to you on Facebook or whatever your enemy is. So my point is this. It's like, I just feel like God is raising the bar for us, all right? It's like the Lord was raising the bar for me because he was saying, be thankful for this father that you have, even though you've hated him most of your life. But the fact is, he actually was the one that was responsible. You know, he helped give you the breath of life. Even if you've never known your mother and father, even if you were adopted at birth, do you know that whoever your biological mother and father are, you are here because you were given life, right? Is there anything that we can be thankful for? Come on, talk to somebody. If you need help to know what to be thankful for something, let me just say this. Many people, most of the people on this planet would love to switch seats with you right now. The ones that are living in nations that don't have free, clean living water or clean water or you know, a grocery store stocked full of groceries just down the road or nice heated room that we're sitting in or whatever. Most of the planet would love to switch seats with you. And there's something about us getting an attitude of gratitude that helps change our perspective and changes our life. When I started to be thankful for my Dutch heritage, thankful for my father, I started to love my father. And he, by the way, went forward at a Billy Graham crusade, so he was changing too. My dad is now 90 this year and is on his way to heaven. And we have a phenomenal relationship. As a matter of fact, after this trip, I'm going back home for a few days to spend time with him and my mother. And I'm so grateful. But you see, there's an attitude shift. There's an adjustment in how we see things. Can we be thankful? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my job. Have you ever thought of being thankful for your job instead of grumbling about how much you should be paid better? Or the nasty coworker that you've got or whatever? Is it possible that maybe who needs to change is us? There's something about this perspective, this change. So honoring is part of it. I think honoring is part of, now listen to the biblical directive here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-20. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Say that with me. In everything give thanks. Oh my goodness. Whew. Now I can look back at my childhood, what was difficult, and I can thank God that not only did I survive, but I thrived, and I'm able to help many people who are where I was. When you've gone through a health crisis, now I'm not saying that God caused you to go through that health crisis, because I believe the Lord wants us healed. But is it possible that you could thank God for lessons that you learned, or thank God that you're a stronger person, or thank God that you came through that, or that you're learning something? In everything, give thanks. That's what the Bible says. What about Romans 8:28? In all things, in everything, he turns it for our good to those who love Christ and are called according to his purpose. He's going to turn that misunderstanding, or he's going to turn that lack of promotion or whatever. Somehow, if we keep our hearts right, if we stand before this God who rewards, he'll turn that injustice for our good. He will, because that's what the Bible says. All things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus, called according to his purpose. In other words, is it possible that we could be thankful? Thanks or thanksgiving is mentioned 109 times in the Bible. Psalm 30 verse 12 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I will give thanks to you forever. A lifestyle of thankfulness. Again, I mentioned that I was a nurse. And you're a nurse, I remember that. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when people get older, they either get nicer or crankier. Have you noticed that? It's true. I remember, you know, I ended up in emergency room nursing and that sort of thing. But I remember nursing some older people for a period of time. And there would be some patients where like, okay, no, you take that one. No, you take her. No. I had her yesterday. You take her this time. It's because this cantankerous, cranky, old, you know, always complaining. Have you ever seen that? Like, come on. How about you and I endeavor that as we get older, we're going to get nicer, not crankier. So that the nurses that, you know, might be taking care of you don't fight over they don't want you as their patient. Come on, I'm talking to somebody here. It's their perspective on life. It's like how we view, is the glass half full or half empty? You know, one of our daughters, we have five daughters, one son and five daughters, and we really challenged our one daughter because she tended to see things half empty. And we would just challenge her, you know, and she would catch herself at, and do, I think the truth is that there's some people are just wired to see life more from a cheery perspective. That's true. And some others wrestle with this more. But I would encourage you that God saying that we can all change. And so even with this daughter, you know what? She, you know, we have her always declaring things every day, you know, I'm full of joy and God enables me to see the good. And she, and now she's getting married. I mean, she's so blessed and God is just ridiculously blessing, but she really had to kind of rewire her thinking or rewire her brain. And you know how you can, because that's biblical, by the way, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4 talks about that. Romans 12 talks about that. The spirit of your mind. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Maybe you had a really cantankerous, cranky mother or father, or that's the way it was in your family, but you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. You can start to declare, I speak life. I live in joy. I live in peace. Be thankful in everything. Give thanks. Psalm 79:13 says, so we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Oh my goodness. You see that there's something about when we as parents have a positive or a thankful attitude, it changes the way that our kids will react. We have a special needs daughter from an immunization. It was when she was immunized when she was 18 months old and MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. And that's a long story, but all I'm going to say is this. Don't buy the lie that you should just give your kid every immunization you're told to give them, okay? Just buy a book called The Vaccine Friendly Plan and that will help you. Because autism actually disappeared when this doctor delayed some of these immunizations or eliminated a few of them. And anyways, that's a whole other story. But with our daughter, Phoebe is her name, we had to, you know, our other kids would be, I don't know, accomplishing great things and doing lots of work. And, you know, and then Phoebe, what we had to do with her is just celebrate every little milestone. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like she was in diapers for 9 years. For 9 years, she was in diapers. I mean, we worked so much harder with our special needs daughter. But every time that she would do the dishes, like we really made it a celebration. And we sought to make sure, you know, we've gotten inner healing for some of the kids on either side of her, but sought to not, you know, eliminate or ignore our other kids because we actually had to spend more time helping Phoebe. But if you know what I'm talking about, we just had to be thankful for every little milestone that she reached, which was much slower pace than her siblings. Phoebe is now 22 years old and she actually has a job in a restaurant in Stratford, and she far surpassed all of our expectations. But I'm like, God, thank you. Like, in other words, we just had to change the way that we viewed things with a special needs daughter. I don't know if that makes sense, but if you're a parent of somebody with a special need, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of trial. But then it's like, be thankful for every breakthrough. Be thankful for every good thing and see the good. Because it was easy to see all the things that she would do wrong. Do you know that, how many of you know Steve Jobs was the guy who came up with Apple, right? Who has an Apple? I have an Apple. They're really good products. But do you know what I heard? Nobody wanted to work with Steve Jobs. He was so cantankerous. He was so wanted the best of everything. Now, maybe his perfectionism led to a good product, but the problem was that everybody around him who worked with him hated him. And there's a book about his life, and I remember just hearing somebody talk about that book, and they said, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. You know, even if you've reached some pinnacle or you have some power in your job or whatever. How we treat people, guess what? Heaven is watching. God is watching. Remember this pastor, his name is Steve Sogren, and he is still the vineyard pastor of Cincinnati. He was one who died. He had a heart attack. And I, as a nurse, I remember working on a dead body, and you feel like somebody's over your shoulder looking at you, working on this dead body. And that actually happens where their spirits will hover for a period of time before they go wherever they're going. And this Steve Sogren, a pastor, had a heart attack. The doctors are working to revive him. And he says he is on the ceiling watching the doctors do emergency cardiac compressions. And God begins to speak to him and says, "Do you know the names of your children's friends?" And he's like, "God, I'm dead. Like, give me a break, you know? Don't you think you should be down there, like, saving me?" But God was casual. Do you know that God's not in a hurry? He's not in a hurry. So the doctors are frantic, pumping his chest. God's asking him, "Do you know the names of your children's friends?" He said, "No, I don't." Because his children's friends would come over to his house to hang out, and he, being the pastor, would ignore them and go into his study to prepare for his sermon. And God was challenging him on the fact that he didn't love his children's friends. Oh my goodness, do you know the names of your children's friends? I do now, that's for sure, but I did before too, what's my point? My point is there's a whole lot of things that we miss that God catches. And there's a whole lot of things that we go after that really don't matter in the light of eternity. Come on. Church, I don't know. I just feel like I'm praying that something sinks in this morning. Seriously. Because even with my husband, you know, it's like I can find the mistakes. I can find the things he's done wrong. But then it's like, oh God, does this really matter in the light of eternity? Maybe I'll just pick up a sock myself, you know? Because it doesn't matter. And he's really good at putting the toilet seat down. I want to just be thankful for all of those good things, you know?
That's what he said.
On the internet. Come on. Like, does it really matter in the light of eternity? Is it worth the fight? Is it worth the big argument? Is it worth the disunity and contention? And no, many times it's not. Yeah, sure, you know, sometimes we have to deal, or we have to come higher or whatever. But my point is this. There's a whole lot of things that we're just getting uptight about that really don't matter. God, help me to major on the majors and minor on those minors. Lord, help us. Help us to be thankful. I just saw a piece where this couple, actually, forget their names, but they wrote a book on marriage, the same one that Justin Bieber, he reads with his wife. But they were saying this, they were saying, you know, if you haven't dealt with your issues in marriage number one, trust me, it's going to go into marriage number two or marriage number three. Really, what you should do is deal with your issues in marriage number one, you know, many times. Now, I'm not saying there is times of divorce. There is, Jesus even gave, you know, reasons for divorce. But my point is this. Don't be going into marriage number two and taking your same issues with you. Like, deal with the stuff. Deal with the stuff. Otherwise, it just follows you. Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. You know, I remember the story of Bill Johnson when he said he was a melancholy personality. He was actually quite depressed. And he would pull the drapes in his house and he would just begin to dance and worship the Lord, even when he didn't feel like it. And that's what broke this melancholy, he calls him, was it like a melancholy personality? Do you know that when it was said, asked of him, how is it that you've raised up this phenomenal worship movement all over the world, like Bethel Music? You know how probably we were singing some songs, I don't know, where Bethel Music, and he said, we never sought to raise up or lead a worship movement, we just sought to worship. That's it. Come on, you worship the Lord and it changes your attitude. It changes your perspective. It says in Psalm 116, verse 7, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will, even if it feels like a sacrifice, I'm going to thank you, God. I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to change my attitude. You know, we were on a sabbatical for a month down, and we drove all the way from Canada to Texas in our van with all our kids. And I remember when we were driving back to Canada, long drive, 16-hour drive, about 14, 16-hour drive. And we just had started off, I think, like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark. And a dog ran into the road, and we could not help but hit this dog. I didn't particularly care about the dog, okay? I think he probably died. But what I did care about was the fact that our van started to go clunk, 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 clunk. And we had a long drive to Canada. And I was sitting there in the van, it's dark, and we were like, oh God. And the Lord spoke to me at that moment, I couldn't believe it. And he said, Patricia, start to praise me. Get the kids all together and start worshiping me. I'm like, what? We've got a broken van, we've got a 14-hour drive, and we got a dead dog. Sounds like a country and western music song, doesn't it? Got a dead dog, and So I'm like, okay, I worship you, Jesus. Did not feel like it at all. Sacrifice. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. So we just began to worship. Jesus, we love you. Hey, kids, start singing. And they're like, what? Mom, are you crazy? Sing. Okay, we're singing. John, sing. We began to sing. We began to worship. Guess what? We came across the next town that happened to have a garage that just opened up as we got there, who happened to have a mechanic who knew exactly what the problem was, who happened to fix it within like 40 minutes, and we were on our way. I knew that was a miracle. And the Lord said, worship me even when you don't feel like it. When it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of worship and of praise, he said. Worship me. It changes your atmosphere. As we already mentioned, God turns it for good. Genesis 50:20, Joseph said this, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring about this day to save many lives. Come on. Even if the enemy means to bring destruction to you, God will turn it for your good if you keep your heart right. God will turn it for good. Now listen to some medically proven, this has been medically proven to boost health. Check this out. Conscious Lifestyle Magazine reports 6 scientifically proven ways being grateful rewires your brain and body for health. It's called the biology of gratitude. Gratitude is good for our brains. The hypothalamus is activated, producing dopamine when we feel gratitude, which is responsible for regulation of appetite, sleep, temperature, metabolism, and growth. So decreased pain levels, a study, there's a counting blessings versus burdens, was reported that when people started to practice thankfulness, they had decreased pain levels. They had better sleep. It'll decrease the time it takes to fall asleep and lengthens the duration of sleep when you have an attitude of thankfulness. Stress relief. Patients who asked to cultivate appreciation had a decrease in cortisol, which is the stress hormone. 80% showed heart rate improvement. It reduces anxiety and depression, increases energy and vitality, lengthens lifespan, decreases blood pressures. Patients with hypertension were asked to count their blessings once a week, and guess what? They had decreased blood pressure. It boosts our immune system. Additionally, being thankful improves our self-esteem, improves our productivity, improves job performance, you become more likable, increase happiness, reduces negative emotions such as envy, hatred, anger, increases positive emotions such as love and empathy. This has been scientifically proven to improve your health. Somebody say hallelujah. If you needed that, there's another good reason. Do you know that in Matthew 15, 36, when Jesus took the seven loaves and the five fish, he broke them, he gave thanks, and what happened? They multiplied. You give thanks for the money that you get in your job. You be grateful for your job. Guess what? You might just get a promotion. You might just see a multiplication. You grumble, grumble, grumble all about your job and grumble, grumble, grumble about your boss and about how little money you make. And you might just find that you're stuck there for a longer period of time. Being thankful absolutely does open doors. Now, here's another one. And then I realize the time's getting on. There's something about being thankful that actually can be transferred. It can be transferred into everybody around us, including our kids and our family. You start being thankful for your kid might be thankful for you. You start being thankful for that food at your table, giving thanks before you eat, and just watch blessings come. You know, I don't know if it's just me or my generation or whatever, but I really believe in writing cards or sending birthday cards. The younger generation maybe is not so big in this. I don't know why I'm saying this. Somebody here, pick this up. Write a thank you card to somebody. Or make sure you send a birthday card to somebody. I remember this place we stayed in in Florida last year. And this woman, she cooked meals for us. And I sent her a thank you card in the mail. And you know what her daughter told me? When she received the card, she burst into tears. And she said, nobody sends cards anymore. Like, maybe it's just I'm not that old, by the way. Do I look old? I am not old, okay? But my point is that there's something about even my generation. I feel like it's important to say those little things of thankfulness, those little cards that you send or email that you send, or make sure you call your mother or your father or your sister or whatever. Guess what? It actually means something. The little things mean a lot. These little ways of expressing thankfulness. And I'll end with this story. My daughter, Gloriana, she's 16. She's amazing. She's just an incredible lover of God. But when we just went to America this past year, and to get your driver's license in America is different than Canada. And I homeschool her. We homeschool from an online program. In America, at least in the state we're in, North Carolina, you have to get your driver's license through the school. Like, you get your driver's training through the school. But she's homeschooled. So then I had to try to register my homeschooling with the state of North Carolina, and it was going to take many months to get that process. And she was just so discouraged, and I said, well, you know what, let's pray. So we prayed, and anyways, this is a long story. There was a woman who also homeschooled, who already had her school registered, that we could get the certificate that we needed to get her in driver's training. Finally got the driver's, the test book to, you know, book the appointment to do her test. Yay! We finally went through all that rigmarole of how to work the American system. Went to go do the test, and guess what? She failed the test. She was crying her eyes out. It was just so brutal in the car. And I'm trying to comfort her. And I said, Glory, look, we're going to change this right now. We're going to change this scenario. We're going to be thankful to God that we figured out the way to get you qualified to even take the test. Let's thank you, Jesus. So tears streaming down her eyes. She's like, thank you, God, that I got to take the test. And then at first I thought I heard the test lady, I thought I heard her say that you have to wait 7 months to take the test again. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. But what she said was, you have to wait 7 days. So I said, Glory, we're going to thank God that we only have to wait 7 days. Thank you, God, that in 7 days I get to take the test again. It was like, it was crazy, but it was like this little exercise to see what was good. Well, guess what? 7 days later, she nailed that test, of course, and she's driving now. My point is this. Is there something we can be thankful for to change the scenario? Let's all stand together. Can I have you guys back up on either keys or something like that? One beautiful exercise we can do is write out. You know, I'm a homeschool mom, by the way, so I've homeschooled for 24 years. And I like to give homework, so Here's your homework. Write out today or tomorrow morning a list of all the things that you can say I'm thankful for. Yeah, just 1 second. Let me finish this. Write out that list of things that you can be thankful for. And then just add to it every so often. Like add more, or just go back and look at it, or, you know, just in a prayerful, meditative way, just say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the house that I live in. Thank you for the bed that I have. Thank you for I walk. I thank you for a shower. When I came back from missions one time, I was just, oh God, shower. Thank you for a shower. Thank you for running water. Thank you to turn on the tap and the water runs. Thank you. Seriously. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the opportunities that I have to go to work, that I have a job. Thank you, God, that you're giving me a job. Or thank you, God, that I have this family member. It's just time to change the scenario. Now, I started off with talking about eternity. And this sort of stuff goes on into that life. This is also part of investing eternally. God, give us an attitude of gratitude that changes the scenario of the grumpiness or of the perspective of negativity. Lord, break in today.
I would just like to give a word of testimony about thankfulness. It was some time ago, maybe 2 years, I forget when, we came aware of some teaching from a lady called Dr. Caroline Leaf talking about the brain and rewiring the brain. And I had some, I was challenged by it. I liked it, the teaching, and I was challenged, and I had some issues for myself. I won't go into detail. But looking at my life, I would say I had issues to do with where I could kind of almost feel myself playing with becoming depressed. I could imagine what it would be like to be depressed. And I sort of struggled with various kinds of things that could become compulsions or addictions. So I started a discipline of trying to follow the teaching and beginning to try to get still with God and quieten myself and explore what pathway there could be to get out of that. So I started with issues to do with I could get depressed or I could get addicted. That was on my agenda. That's what needed to be fixed. And as I started that journey, very, very quickly, what I felt the Holy Spirit say was, it was memorize and write down 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And I can't claim that I've done it every day, but I have done it quite a lot, and it didn't make sense to me, but there has kind of been an answer. And it's I have found personally that if I go through a time that feels particularly dark, I know there's always Jesus there, but I also know that Holy Spirit has given me kind of this button I can press immediately. It's like a go-to thing that I can always do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. And I just checked with Mary. I checked with Mary since I started doing that. Am I a better guy? And apparently I'm not really. I'm pretty good, but not noticeably better. But I would say I haven't done it perfectly since then. But I would say for myself, I would say to the extent that I've done it, it's worked. So I just want to heartily underline and recommend. It doesn't have to be that particular verse, but it's a really good verse. The Holy Spirit might give some other strategy to you, but being thankful does open up. And I was so fascinated that Bill Johnson picked that as the one thing he would impart, because I do believe it is a doorway to a better life. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you get some of your leaders to come here? I like fire tunnels, because that means we can lay hands on everybody. So, can I have, Trevor, can you come back here? We probably need you here more. You guys can stay on worship. But, if you're up for this, we're going to pray and lay hands on anybody that wants to. Maybe start here. Start it here. Mister, come over here. Come behind this guy here. And just walk through slowly. What we're going to do, we're going to pray that, want you to walk through, go behind him. And what we want you to do, just walk through slowly. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for not only this thankfulness, but just the Lord would reveal whatever adjustments he wants to make. So Lord, come. First of all, can we just say this? Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for grumbling. Forgive us for complaining. Forgive us for negative attitudes. Forgive us for where we haven't practiced gratitude. But Lord, will you come and adjust whatever you need to adjust in us? That we want to live for forever now. We want to live for an eye for eternity. So break in. Yeah, just walk slowly through. We're going to lay hands on you. And come, Holy Spirit, break in with your life. Break in with truth in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah.
Right.